Right, today is the 28th of January 2011, and this is Malcolm King of the Gloucester Rugby Heritage Project. I have with me John Thayers. We're at King's home today, where fortunately we've been joined by John Hudson. Thank you very much for coming along, John.
It's a pleasure.
And I can't think of anybody who has a more distinguished King's home pedigree. Perhaps we could take this chronologically, John, and go back first to memories of your grandfather, Arthur. What memories do you have of him?
Well, obviously, I'm glad to say I can't remember him playing, because that would make me very old. I remember him really as quite an elderly man, probably wasn't that old, walking across the pitch after games with Tom Millington and Arnold Alcock. And the treasurer then, who was, I think it was Bertie Bolshin, after games. And but I would always watch the games with my grandmother in the stand. And I think the earliest games I can remember really watching are in the late 50s, early 60s. People like Terry Hopson, Mickey Booth, Russ Hillier at fullback, Peter Ford, obviously. And Baggy Hudson, no relation to ourselves, and a few other stalwarts.
Yeah. So where did the committee watch the game in those days?
In the front of the grandstand, in the old stand there was an alleyway, just seats in the front of the stand, one side for the press, one side for the committee.
Right. And I suppose you were probably brought here to King's home in your pram, were you?
I'm sure I was. I can't remember that. But yeah, so everything in my family, everything we did revolved around rugby. Holidays, everything. And of course, obviously around the business as well. But we only had 1 week's holiday a year in those days, which had to be taken bank holiday, August bank holiday, which was in the beginning of August. And even Christmas, we didn't go anywhere because there was always a game on Boxing Day. I can remember being taken up to my aunties up in North Wales 1 year because they were very well, and we travelled back Boxing Day for the game. And it was in that 1962-63 winter. No heater in the car, a puncher just outside Leinster. And it was incredible.
But you made it, did you?
We made it. We got back for the game on the Boxing Day, yeah.
Who was that, Old Merchant Taylors?
I expect it was Old Merchant Taylors, yeah. Which it always was in those days, of course.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. And usually a good Gloucester win.
Yes, it unfortunately it did at the end. It got too one-sided, and I think the fixture was finished, and then Lydney took, which was quite a good way of doing it, really, because it was a local derby, a lot of interest. A lot of local clubs would play on Boxing Morning, us included, and then come down here in the afternoon.
I believe that your grandfather, Arthur, started life actually as a soccer player rather than a rugby player.
Yes, he did. He played football. I've got a few photographs of him, actually. Barnwood Football Club he played for. He also, Midland Railway, I think he played football for, but I know he also played cricket for them, which I've got, again, pictures of.
Well, I think he worked for them, didn't
he? Yeah,
he
worked for the Midland Railway until actually 1920 as a goods clerk. But yes, he was obviously convinced to come. I think they played in the car park, or where the car park is now. There was a pitch there. He played football, and obviously they found he was a bit quick, and they convinced him to try playing rugby, which he did. When I was a youngster, obviously all junior schools played football. There was no mini rugby in those days, and obviously I knew about my grandfather and was desperate to play rugby. I took a rugby ball to school once, to Armbridge Junior School, and I was told it was confiscated and I was told off. I went back and told my grandfather this, and he said, well, they were quite right. How can you expect to control an oval ball before you can control a round ball? And I think he's got a point.
Well, he was certainly very quick, and the description of him is that he ran with his knees very high and therefore was very difficult to tackle.
Yes, that's what he always told me. He said, run very, very straight, very knees high action, and everybody will be frightened to tackle you. Easier said than done, actually, but his record speaks for itself.
Of the players I've seen, I think that the one I would put out who ran like that was Andy Ripley.
Yes, he did. Very tall fellow, and it's very sad about Andy. But yes, he was a unique runner for even in those days. Mm. He was a bit different.
Lawrence Dallaglio in his early days had something of that style as well.
Yes.
I remember watching him play for the England World Cup Sevens team, and he scored one or two tries with that really high-stepping style, which he didn't seem to have so much in the later years, you know. Mm. But in his early days, he very high-stepper, yeah.
Did your grandfather ever talk to you about any particular games that he played in?
He talked about rugby in general, not really about particular games, no. He may have, but unfortunately I can't remember anything particularly. He just talked about rugby in general. And when I started playing rugby, he never really commented on my... I only played locally, but he never really spoke about it. And nor did my father. My father would very rarely actually come and watch me at all.
Well, I thought Arthur might at least have reminisced about scoring four tries in one match in Paris against France.
Yeah, not really. As I said, he just talked about rugby in general. Maybe I was, as a boy, I was too restless to sit down and listen. I was always wanted to be outside playing.
Do you remember what else he used to say about the game in general?
Not huge recollections about it. It's usually about the... Whenever I spoke to him, it was about matters that were relevant in the day or about games that we'd watched the weekend before.
I mean, although he had a tremendous record for Gloucester, 236 tries in 260 matches, astonishing. Of course, his career was actually interrupted by the First World War. I think he served on submarines.
Yes, he was stationed down in Devonport, and he had quite a lot to do with Devonport Services, or Devonport FC, I don't think it was Devonport Services in those days. And again, I've got a couple of photographs of him in his on his ship, HMS Harwich, I think it was, whether it was a training ship. But yes, he got involved with rugby with the services as well.
Yeah. And indeed played for the Navy while he was down. His playing career came to an end, unfortunately, didn't it, with an injury in a county championship final.
Yes, I think I do remember him telling me about that. He either caught his thumb in a player's shirt or his shorts, and it swung him round and he dislocated his shoulder. So he obviously couldn't tackle properly. But yes, that finished his career, really.
But he was 38 by then.
Yes, yes.
Same thing as your father was when he retired.
Yes, he finished, yes. So he'd had a good career.
Yeah.
Yeah, unfortunately interrupted by World War, which probably they lost people they knew, and it was a very difficult time for them.